You listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. What would be your song of choice?
Metallica's Motor Breath, without question.
Ooh, wow. No hesitation there. I like it.
That was quick.
It's like, okay.
Grand Slam, baby.
Okay. Oof. All right. So, yeah, you know, and I think in any sport, if you did that, people would love it. Anything to just connect with fans in a different way, I think it would be... It would be quite good. The IndyCar season, of course, is done. F1 is a week away, but there's lots of talk about young DeVries, and you know, this is a guy who, you know, lots of racers are saying, hey, he is ready to go. He, you know, had maybe one of the best results for Williams. Are young drivers? Is there, because in sports, especially in hockey, sometimes people see like one game from a young player. Oh, yeah, they're ready to anoint him. Does it happen the same in racing, or is racing, if you're good early, you're usually pretty good?
Boy, if you can knock out points in your debut in a car that you've really only tested in, that's, you know, that's the gold star on your resume for sure. You know, nobody has that expectation of a driver when they start. You always expect that they're going to struggle to get up to speed. They're going to struggle going to a higher level of competition. You know, Stretti can probably speak better to this than anyone, because, you know, when you watch AHL hockey or junior hockey, I mean, to the average person, it doesn't look a lot, you know, different. You notice the players get bigger and yeah, they get a bit faster, but the level of competition doesn't really translate so much when you watch it in person or on TV. But it's such a big step with all these levels, and to, you know, come out of F2 where he hasn't really raced at all this year, to come in cold off the bench, so to speak, you know, where he tested for another team that weekend too. I mean, we forgot to point that out, that he was in the AlphaTauri for the test session, and then jumped into the Williams unexpectedly, and to finish eighth on debut is just there is no doubt that he will be, you know, top of list for, you know, for many teams' selections for the open seats in 2023.
Now, that's one of the younger, you know, drivers we're talking about. I want to talk about an older, well, semi-older, Lewis Hamilton. Spoke the other day, and he talked about that, you know, he has no plans of retiring, and he's going to stick with Mercedes all the way. He's 37 years old. You know, in track world, how many more good years does Lewis Hamilton have, or does he ever time out? And then two, is it just the best fit for him to stay with Mercedes?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in his career, the only reason he'd want to switch is if he got treated differently going forward. I mean, I think, you know, Lewis will say he gets treated very well by Mercedes. I would think, you know, when he says that he's got a long time left in him and he's not planning to go anywhere, I would think that, you know, probably three more years. And if he doesn't notch another championship or at least a handful more wins, then he might take a look in the rearview mirror and say, you know, I've done all that I need to do. I don't have anything left to prove. And, you know, Lewis has not really had a longstanding relationship, never been married. You know, obviously no kids that we know of. At some point your focus goes away from racing and you decide to focus on other things. So I would think that he's probably waiting until the end of the line before he really gets serious. You know, a lot of drivers really think that family, and, you know, having to care about other people takes away from your focus behind the wheel, especially at the top level like F1. So, you know, hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, but I would think that that's kind of the hesitation that a driver like Hamilton has. You know, what he does going forward after that, I mean, yeah, I don't see him going anywhere else. And, you know, we probably get, like I said, you know, 2 to 3 more years out of him after this season.
Yeah, I would think so, at least, you know, when you consider, you know, how some guys are driving well into their, you know, later 30s for sure. Now, they released the 2023 calendar. There's a record high 24 races next year. Monaco and Spa are returning. The Vegas race, I saw a lot of American people saying, what, are you kidding me? It's going to start at 10 p.m. Vegas time, which is, of course, 11 here, and 1 a.m. Eastern. I didn't look into why that is. Is it because November in Vegas? I don't know if it's that hot, but or is this like to make it easier for European viewers? What's with such a late start?
Well, I mean, at 10 o'clock in Vegas, that's still only 7 a.m. My conversions may be a bit off in Europe, but they want to showcase the race at night for sure. They want it to be dark so that all the buildings that they go past are lit up. You see the you know, all the neon and all the flash that Vegas has to offer. You know, Singapore, that's coming up in a week, is also a real late night race in Singapore, but to match back to European time. But I mean, Singapore is a spectacular looking track. I've been fortunate enough to visit Singapore. I've driven around some of the streets where the race is held. And, you know, candidly, they make it look a lot better on TV than what it is. Not that it looks bad, but it looks so stunning with the lights and the way that the LED lights really highlight the track. I know they're going to try and copy some of that for Vegas. But, yeah, I mean, Vegas is going to be one of three races in the U.S. next year. So where, you know, they're really trying to focus on gaining a bigger foothold in the States, but they're kind of working against themselves by not allowing American owners or American drivers to cross their way into the series.
Tom with Colin Livingston for the CanTorque Racing Report. Now, I just want to follow on up on that. So is it more the venues they're choosing as far as F1 and in the States, or is it the people they're not allowed to let in that is making it kind of difficult, and it seems like they're facing a headwind for F1 to really take off with more events here in the States or North America?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a balance of both. They're, you know, they really want to get the foothold in the States. Obviously, it's one of, if not the biggest market outside of China for entertainment dollar spend. Obviously, a lot of eyes go on the TV. So if you can get coverage in the U.S., you're doing really, really well. While they're expanding the calendar and they're stretching these teams to the limit, they're you know, obviously expanding the schedule, which puts more dollars in F1's pocket because every venue is a new sanctioning fee. They're also tightening the noose and not allowing these new teams to come in, saying that they don't want to dilute the series and they don't want to this and blah, 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 blah. The secondary side of things is making it so hard for other drivers that don't go up through the F1 ladder to get the super license points to, you know, make it over to F1. And the most recent example is Colton Herta drives for Andretti Autosport, who's basically stuck at 32 out of the 40 super license points he needs as a six-time IndyCar winner. You know, the only hope for him is he would have to leave IndyCar, get an F2 ride, compete, you know, either win the championship, you know, you get points for second, third, fourth, but the points are greatly diminished, which is the only way. So they're really restricting how drivers can get access to that series. But as they're trying to, again, get eyes on the TVs, nothing attracts Americans to sport like seeing their own people compete, whether it's a team owner or you know, a driver. And I mean, you know, you've already got Carl Haas, who, you know, has the F1 side of things, you know, combined with his NASCAR program. But with a guy like Michael Andretti, if they would, you know, grant him access to the kingdom, I think it would do nothing but good. But, you know, obviously the more teams that they have, the less the slice of pie is per team potentially. So there's going to be a lot of protectionistic nature going on over there. I really think.
Colin Livingston joins us in the CanTorque Racing Report. Colin, what do you make of Jamie Alguersari's comments when he was was speaking of team consultant Helmut Marko? What did you make of that?
Very, very telling. I mean, I can't say that there's any surprises coming out. I mean, it was a story that was actually published this morning on therace.com, one of my more favorite publications to study, but basically talking about how, you know, he's 10 years removed from his days in F1, and he says he still wakes up with nightmares of Helmut Marko and his disapproving looks. And he, you know, he talks about how harsh this guy was. You know, he's the consultant where, you know, Christian Horner's the team principal. But you, like, what people, I don't know if people really appreciate what happens behind the scenes. I mean, every team has some kind of conflict at some point. I mean, it's sport, emotions run high. People have different opinions and it can get very, very heated, but you know, drivers are fragile and I don't care what the driver says, you know, there's a lot of ego that goes behind, you know, being able to get into that thing and thinking you're able to beat the other competitors on the track. You need to really, in my opinion is you need to really nurture those drivers. You don't want them to be cocky, but you want them to be confident. And it really seems like, you know, the number of drivers that get churned out through the Red Bull program through what's now known as AlphaTauri, it's kind of crazy. You know, like they've had incredible drivers through there that, you know, either just, you know, get cut for whatever reason, burnout. You know, Pierre Gasly a couple of years ago, one of the hottest drivers on the market right now, moved up to the big team, couldn't really compete with Verstappen. They bumped him back down. You know, it's a very, very difficult, thing behind the scenes that I don't think a lot of people really appreciate.
Colin Livingston joined us for the Canada Racing Report. The last weekend for the big series, the Pinty Series, you're out at Delaware Speedway in London, Ontario. What kind of a challenges does this track put up for the riders?
I mean, this place is awesome. You know, real half mile oval, which is the biggest that we have left on the calendar. You know, really tight corners, kind of two different shaped ends. One and two is a little bit tighter. Three and four is a bit more sweeping, but long straightaways. You know, the championship is all but over for Camerand. He's got enough of a lead that, you know, basically all he has to do is start on Sunday and he's going to, take his first title. We've got a real close battle, from, you know, position two to four with Lacroix, good friend DJ Kennington, and Tag. They're only separated by 3 points. And, you know, realistically, there's some pride on the line, but there's also a cash payout at the end of the year that, you know, finishing second pays a whole lot better than finishing fourth. So there's going to be a dogfight for sure. I mean, Lacroix is known to be fairly aggressive. You know, DJ and us, we race pretty well together. But there's also going to be, you know, Trayton Lapcevic, you know, he's coming on strong at the end of the year. There's going to be a lot to play for here on Sunday.
And Alex Labbe's rejoining, right? He's been racing mostly in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to have these guys come back. Alex is a really, really good guy. I've got to know him quite well over the last bunch of years, you know, doing online racing with him on iRacing. And, you know, we often chat in the garage. Really, you know, really great indicator and a benchmark for our drivers. I mean, our series is just packed with talent. There's nobody on the face of the earth that convinced me that, you know, the talent that we have in the Pinty Series isn't equal to or better than that in Truck, Xfinity, or even a lot of cases Cup. The big difference between our series and those is that, you know, there's just bigger budgets and it's really, really difficult for Canadian drivers to find funding where they're in front of American eyes. You know, and this isn't a slam against Alex. I mean, he does a great job as in Alex Labbe. But it's not like these guys can come back after running in Xfinity. You know, DJ and Jason White ran some cup races over the last couple of years. It's not like they come back and they can jump in a car and just whoop the field. I mean, they'll have 10th place finishes. You know, sometimes they'll get up to the front, but it's not like they can come back and just lay a licking on everyone, which really shows that, you know, when a guy can finish in the top five on a road course at, you know, in the Xfinity Series and comes back and, you know, finishes top five in Pinty's, it really shows that there's a really, really strong group of talent here. And, you know, hopefully we get a few eyes on the screens here. That seems to be my expression of the day. This is going to be a great race. There's a couple, I think it'll even stream on TSN, but I'm not sure. But yeah, you'll be able to see the broadcast here by next weekend.
Awesome stuff, Colin. Have yourself a great week, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks again, guys.